This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So dear brothers and sisters, we will continue tonight inshallah with our program about Ramadan and why we should care about Ramadan. In the last halaqa, we talked about what the Quran said about Ramadan. And in this halaqa inshallah, we try to focus on what the second source of guidance in our deen said about Ramadan, which is the sunnah of our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before talking about what the sunnah said about Ramadan, I would like to mention something about the wisdom behind this diversity, this variety of, we have variety of acts of worship. So we have a salat, which is a physical act of worship. We have al-hajj, which include some financial obligations, and you have to make a trip. You go to Mecca and in Medina, and it includes some physical activities, and you have to spend some money. We have zakat, which is based on financial, you know, donations you have to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it this way to keep the element, wallahu alam, the element of excitement and motivation. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only prescribed fasting. We have to fast like every second day, for example. You have to be hungry for the whole year. I mean, it will be difficult for people to, you know, to fulfill their duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will be kind of boring. There is no excitement. When you think about the salat, the five daily prayers, we start our daily prayers with the fajr prayer, two rak'ahs, and then dhuhr four. So something different. Then you have to concentrate. Now we are in dhuhr, doing dhuhr, you have to concentrate. You're not doing three, you're not doing two, you're doing four. So you concentrate on your ibadat. It does not become a routine, something that you do it automatically, and you do it all the time in the same way. Like if you think about Al-Fatiha, for example, Al-Fatiha is a great surah. It's a beautiful surah. But we take it for granted because we do it every day. We recite it every day more than 17 times. We start the Fatiha by saying Alhamdulillah, maybe we remember Alhamdulillah, and then we don't pay attention until we say Waladdallin. But in between, we don't remember anything because we do it on a daily basis. And we do it the same way. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed different acts of worship, so we can be, inshallah, all the time excited, motivated. And I am sure that the believers, the true believers nowadays, are very happy, are looking forward to fasting the month of Ramadan. They are happy because Ramadan is coming. The true believers. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعلنا منهم. Another piece of wisdom, والله تعالى أعلم, the element of testing is still there too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test the believers, because there are people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on their desires. They do things because they like to do them, they love to do them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed those different acts of worship to see who will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all times, in all circumstances. And this is the quality of true believers. They do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to do on that specific time with those specific conditions. For example, I'll give you an example. Someone likes to read the Quran, which is good, alhamdulillah, and he's in the masjid sitting down, reading the Quran, reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after dhuhr, they made an announcement They make an announcement that there will be janazah prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on what we know in the Quran and the Sunnah for our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that specific moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that servant to be participating in what? In the janazah. Because that's the ibadah of al-waqt. He wants you to be doing this, even though Quran is good, it's another act of worship. But some people might say, no, I don't want to do it. I'll keep just reading Quran. You're not doing a sin, because Salat al-Janazah is not an obligation. But this is not what Allah wants you to do at that moment. So the element of testing is there. You are tested by going through this variety of acts of worship. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Rasulullah ﷺ, based on the ahadith, different ahadith in the sunnah, he said fasting is a shield against the fire of hell, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a shield against one's desires and also angry disputes. Because there is a hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said fasting is a shield against the punishment of Allah. And this hadith is sahih. As-siyamu junnatun min azabi Allah. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salama wa al-afiyah. In a different hadith, which is a Qudsi hadith, and this is a beautiful hadith about fasting. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, and this is a Qudsi hadith. That means the meaning is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the wording came from, the words came from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not like Quran. But still, this is not a statement. You cannot attribute this statement to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the meaning is coming from Allah. Allah commanded him to send this message, to convey this message to the believers through this way, the Qudsi hadith. So he said, every action of the son of Adam is given manifold reward. Each good deed receiving 10 times its like, up to 700. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give you 10 hasanat for one deed, and might give you more, up to 700. So this is the maximum based on this hadith. The maximum reward that you can get for every deed. But there is one exception, and that is fasting. This rule does not apply to fasting, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, Allah the Most High said, except for fasting, it is for me, and I will give recompense for it. So which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it secret. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it as a secret, and you will find out about it on the Day of Judgment. It's like a surprise, a gift. You open the box and then you'll be happy because you got a good gift from your dad or mom or a family member. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. And to Allah belongs the highest example. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and he in this hadith Rasulullah ﷺ told us about the reason. He leaves off his desires and his food for me. Because you made this effort, you made this step, you left food and drink and the other types of desires for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah knows that you are doing it for His sake. And we know that fasting increases our sincerity, inshallah, our ikhlas. Because everyone is able to go home, go to the kitchen, lock the door, and eat, right? And no one can see him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to see him. So now, because you don't do that, you don't break your fast, and you keep fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for you a great reward. He didn't tell us how much, but he kept it secret. And I don't know any other ibadah, any other act of worship that was described in the sunnah or in the Quran to have, you know, this virtue or this sign of excellence. I don't know any other ibadah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. يعني this statement from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was made only about fasting. In a different hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the paradise has 8 gates. الجنة لها ثمانية أبواب. One of them is called the Rayyan. Only the fasting people, people who used to perform fasting, can come through it. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. But there is another hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, each group of people is called to enter paradise by a door named after the kind of ibadah, the kind of good deeds they used to do. So when you put these two hadith together, then you come up with this question, okay, what is special about Ramadan? If there is a door for every good deed, right? So what is special about Ramadan? What I believe, Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, there is more emphasis that is given to Ramadan. Because Rasulullah s.a.w. named the gate. And he singled out Ramadan in this hadith. He said the people who are fasting, they have a special gate. And it is named Ar-Rayyan. Just think about it when, members of diplomatic missions move to another country, they are given a special treatment, right? Because they carry diplomatic passport. They represent the government. So they are given a special treatment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be given this special treatment to the people of fasting on the Day of Judgment because of their fasting, and they will be, and that is their allowing them to go to Jannah through this door. And no one else will go through this door except the people of fasting, and it is called Ar-Rayyan. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. In a different hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the change in the breath of the mouth of him who fasts is better in Allah's estimation than the fragrance of musk, than the smell of musk. And of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not talking about, this artificial musk that we buy in the stores or people are selling beside the doors of the masajid. This cheap type of musk. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not talking about this. He's talking the pure musk. And this musk, they said it is a greasy secretion with a powerful odor. And it is found, produced in a glandular sac that is found beneath an animal that is called musk deer. And it is found in Australia, I think. I don't know if it is found in Arabia, I'm not sure. But it was used in the old times, it was used to make perfume. Those types of perfumes were very expensive. So Rasulullah ﷺ is talking about this natural, pure musk. It has a very powerful odor. So now you meet the fasting person, and you might become offended by the smell of his breath, right? But Allah's estimation is different than the estimation of His creation. In Allah's sight, this breath is better than the smell of musk. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yataqabbala minna jami'an wa an yaj'alana min ahli siyam. طيب, in a different hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the one who fasts, الذي يصوم, experiences two joys. يعني لصائم فرحتان فرحة عندما عند فطره وفرحة عند لقاء ربه. So he feels pleasure when he breaks the fast, and he will be happy by virtue of his fasting or his fast when he meets his Lord, when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be happy at the time of at the time of adhan, because it's eating time. That could be the reason, Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Or the other reason is he will be happy, proud of himself, he made some achievement. Especially if he fasted for 18 hours, it's not something easy, right? He will be happy, because this is a kind of spiritual achievement. He achieved something. He was able to control his desires for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 18 hours. There are people who cannot do it. There are people who cannot do it. I know about some people who cannot do it. I mean, they can do it if they want, but they try to come up with excuses. Especially in this country, and people who work in the summer, there are people who do some fatwa shopping before Ramadan, looking for a rukhsa, for a concession. And the ulama, they said, the source of their happiness on the Day of Judgment, when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is nothing but that great reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised and has made a secret. A great reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how much is great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah said, I have prepared ajr azim, I have prepared great reward. If I say I will give you great, you know, gift, I mean, what do you expect from me? What do you expect from me? Even if, I mean, if you become, I mean, you try to imagine, the maximum you can go with maybe a car, right? A used car. Because I'm a human being, I'm poor. But if, مثلاً, the Prime Minister tells you, I'm inviting tonight, inviting you to a dinner, you expect a fancy dinner, right? If the King or the Queen invites people, you expect something better, right? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. And to Allah belongs the highest example. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have prepared for my servants which no eye has ever seen. So if you try to imagine the pleasure of Al-Jannah, try to imagine. You can't. Why? Because it's something that you did not see it in this life. It's something different. I try to do it. I'm sure you do it, right? You try to imagine the pleasure of Jannah. Sometimes I try to imagine a big palace and fancy clothes, and I imagine myself. I hope that I will be one of the people of Jannah, inshaAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaj'alana min ahli Jannah jami'an. But you try to imagine, but you always compare with what you have seen in this dunya. Your imagination is limited, your knowledge is limited. Because that is your human experience and that's it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, my reward goes beyond this. I have prepared for my servants which no eye has ever seen, which no ear has ever heard, and which no mind or heart has ever thought of. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yaj'alana min ahl jannah. So this is great, the word great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the word, but we don't know the reality of this word. And people will find out, the people of Jannah will find out about it on the Day of Judgment. In Ramadan, ibadah was made easy, ya ikhwan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is motivating the believers, helping them, trying to help them, inviting them to get ready, to roll up their sleeves. The hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, Rasulullah ﷺ said in this hadith, when Ramadan begins, the gates of Jannah are opened. And this is a sign of invitation. You are invited. Gates of Jannah are opened. And the gates of hell are closed. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is minimizing the ways of evil. Why? Because the devils are chained too. That means if we do something bad, it's coming out of our own nafs, it's our own desires. Cannot blame shaitan. Based on one of the explanations that all devils are chained. Another interpretation, they said only the worst of them, the worst type of devils, their leaders are chained up. Allah Ta'ala A'lam. Allah knows best. But if we do something bad, so we have to blame ourselves in Ramadan. And this is a sign of, as I said, a sign of Allah's love and mercy in Ramadan. He's opening the gates of Jannah, which is a sign that he will be forgiving people. That more people will be admitted into Jannah. But more people will get their sins forgiven. that more people will be saved from hellfire in Ramadan, because the gates of Jahannam are closed and the gates of Jannah are opened. طيب, the importance of, ya ikhwan, of preparing ourselves for Ramadan and studying about Ramadan and talking about Ramadan, even though we do the same thing, we talk about the same subject, we mention the same ahadith every year, we mention the same ayat. We have only 5 ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah talking about Ramadan, and we need to review this ayat every year. The importance of doing this comes from a fact that people will be divided in every Ramadan into 2 groups, winners and losers. And we want to be among the winners. Why? Because in a hadith, a famous hadith that was collected by Abi Huraira, narrated by Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said Rasulullah ascended the minbar. Ascended the minbar, and he said, Ameen, 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 3 times. And then he was asked, alayhi salatu wasalam, why did you do that? So he said, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me when I was ascending the minbar. And he said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Raghima anfum ri'in adraka walidayhi aw ahadahuma walam yudkhilah al-jannah. أو لم يدخل بهما الجنة. He said, may his nose be wrapped with dust, who lives to see his parents grow old, and they don't take him to Jannah, or he does not enter paradise by the virtue of serving them and obeying them. So he was alive when his parents were old. He was supposed to serve them, to obey them, to take care of them. He did not fulfill his duties towards his parents. And then this is a dua. Actually, Jibreel is making a dua against him, because this man is a loser. He has lost a great opportunity. It is a parent is a gate to a Jannah. Like Ramadan has a special gate, also the parent is a gate to Al Jannah. So if you take care of your parents, you do it with the intention. Because our love for parents is natural, right? Even non-Muslims love their parents and take care of them. But you do it as a Muslim with a different intention. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to take care of your parents. Be nice to them. Treat them with kindness. And then you do it for His sake. So you earn 2 things. The love of your parents, have a good relationship with your parents, and you earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with you. So this is the first Ameen. So when Jibreel made this statement, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen. And then the second time he said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ مْرِئٍ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. He said, may his nose be wrapped with the dust, who was able to witness Ramadan, and his sins were not forgiven. That is the problem here. Now the question is, how do I get my sins forgiven in Ramadan? That is the question. There are people who are preparing for Ramadan. By preparing by what? I heard about a radio, a famous radio, in a Muslim country. And that is supposed to be practicing Sharia in a very good Muslim country. This radio has bought an amount, a big quantity of songs with a big amount of money to be broadcasted during Ramadan. Songs. There are people who are preparing some drama, some movies. There are people who are waiting for Ramadan so they can sleep during the day and watch movies and go with their friends and play, you know, they play the cards and they play different games in coffee shops in Ramadan. So there are people who witness Ramadan and they don't get actually their sins forgiven, they might increase the number of their sins. So Rasulullah ﷺ here heard Jibreel making this statement, and Rasulullah said, Ameen. He said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُمْ رِئِنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. And the third one, he said, Jibreel said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُمْ رِئِنْ ذُكِرْتَ عِنْدَهُ وَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. So he said, may his nose be wrapped with the dust, the one whom you are mentioned in front of him, in front of his, in his presence, and he does not send his prayers and blessings upon you, upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whenever we hear the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should send our prayers and blessings upon him alayhi salatu wa sallam. So this is a conversation that took place between Jibreel alayhi salam and between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying Ameen. But this is an information that we got about Ramadan. And a different hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confirmed this meaning about people who will actually witness Ramadan, but they will not get their sins forgiven. He said, perhaps a fasting person will receive nothing from his fasting except hunger and thirst. He will be hungry like everyone. He will be thirsty like everyone. But he does not increase his rewards, or his sins are not forgiven. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salama wa al-afiyah. Taib. Now I would like to mention a few things about what invalidates the fast and what does not, and we can have a discussion about these things together. Some ulama have mentioned a few of them. I just have a short list here. They said a nosebleed. If you get a nosebleed in Ramadan, then this will not affect your fasting. There are people who have weird beliefs, مثلا, about using shampoo during Ramadan. Some people believe if you use shampoo during Ramadan, then your fast is not valid. No, it is valid. It has nothing to do with eating and drinking. Nothing is going inside your system, your body. So it does not affect your fasting. If you are using perfume, it does not. It does not affect your fasting. But here we're talking about nosebleed. If you get a nosebleed, then blood is coming out of your nose, then it does not affect your fasting. When it comes to vomiting, there are two types of vomiting. There is natural vomiting and there is induced vomiting. So the induced vomiting invalidates, breaks the fast. But the natural vomiting, if someone is overwhelmed and he vomits, so then his fast is still valid, inshallah. If you take a meningitis vaccination, flu shots, and other non-nutritional types of vaccination, then all these vaccinations do not invalidate your fast. Your fast is still okay. Smoking. What do you think about smoking? It does. It breaks the fast, yeah? We talked about it, I think, last time. And we said if someone is مُبْتَلَى بِهَذِهِ الْمُصِيبَةِ, yani if someone is struggling with himself about smoking, then it is a great opportunity to quit smoking in Ramadan. And we said why? Because you'd be fasting for 18 hours, right? And then at 10 o'clock, you're going to eat. So you try to control yourself, your desire to have a cigarette during that hour. And you try to go to Taraweeh prayer at 11:30. Then after Taraweeh prayer, it is when you complete your Taraweeh prayer, it will be 12:30. You don't have time to smoke. You'll be driving back, going back home, be tired. You should go to bed and wake up before Fajr. There should be no time for a cigarette. Just take suhoor, and then you'll be fasting again. So for 1 month, inshallah, if you keep doing the same thing for 1 month, hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the power, especially if you have the intention. Everything starts with the intention, the right intention. If we are struggling with smoking, with any problem, if we have the intention to get rid of it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you, will help us, inshallah. Will help me and help you. Because we are humans, we are weak, we have our own weaknesses. We just have to make this first step. Firm intention to correct ourselves, to train ourselves, to become better Muslims. Nasal sprays do not affect the fast, do not. But the ulama, they said, it's better to do them during night time. Why? Because there is a hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Baligh fil istinshaq illa an takuna sa'iman." He said, "Snuff up water deeply unless you are fasting, unless you are fasting." So the ulama, some ulama said, if it does not, affect the fasting, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have no reason to tell you. Avoid sniffing up water deeply. Why he would give you this advice if this water will not affect your fasting? He said, do not do it deeply unless you are fasting. So if you are fasting, do not do it deeply. Try to be careful. So he said, if anything goes through the nose and goes inside your system, it should break the fast. But wallahu a'lam here, because the nasal sprays do not go inside, so the ulama, they said, usually they do not affect our fast, but we have to be careful. It's better to do them at night time. Eye drops do not affect our fasting. Ear drops do not affect our fasting. What else? Naam? Yeah, it does not affect your fasting. It does not. But when you rinse your mouth, do not try to put your head down. Then you throw water down, and inshallah, try to be careful. And then inshallah, your fasting will be fine. Yeah, if you brush your teeth, this is what you mean? Yeah, it does not affect your fasting. This is the fatwa of many ulama. Wallahu ta'ala alam. If you want to avoid it, you can avoid it and use the siwak. I mean, it's up to you. It becomes a personal choice. What else? Now, this blood does not affect. If blood is coming from your teeth, does not affect your fasting. Does not. From the nose or... Yes? Try to stay away from them. The smell is not a problem, but the problem is, they said smoke has a germ, it might go inside the smoke itself. It might go inside your body and then to affect your fasting. So it's better to stay away. Actually, you should stay away from people who are smoking in Ramadan. Yes?
After supper, you eat food, right? And then you brush your teeth. And some people, they brush their teeth, that's where the bad smell comes from. Is that considered induced vomiting or not? If something comes up?
Say it again?
So when you eat supper, right, you're full. And okay. You brush your teeth. And what people do is they brush their tongue.
They brush their tongue.
Yeah, you brush it down, right?
Yeah.
That causes vomit sometimes. It depends how you do it. Is that considered induced vomiting or not?
Well, it is not induced vomiting because you didn't intend to. Induced vomiting is when you don't feel good about something you ate and you put your finger inside and make yourself to vomit. If they brush their tongue and they vomit later on, then it's not. It doesn't seem to me. To me, it doesn't seem that it is an induced vomiting. Said some people, you know, brush their tongue, and then they might vomit later on. I didn't know about that. Allahu alam. Yeah, but I don't believe it's an induced vomiting. It's when you do it on purpose. Wallahu ta'ala alam. What about if someone eats and drink by mistake during Ramadan? Huh? Still valid. So your fasting is still valid. أَطْعَمَهُ اللَّهُ وَسَقَاهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fed him and gave him to drink. It's a mistake. It should be fine as long as you don't do it on purpose. You forgot. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive inshallah our weaknesses, our mistakes. Yeah, go ahead.
Medicine.
medicine, if you take medicine, it goes inside and it will affect your fasting. Insulin does not. Yeah, it does not affect your fasting. Wallahu ta'ala. But if someone, just a second, if someone goes to the hospital and instead of giving him food, they give him this, what is called? IV drops, right? These IV drops, usually it is nutritional. It is meant for nutrition. It will affect the fasting. So this is how we distinguish between nutritional and non-nutritional injections. Wallahu ta'ala alam.
Breastfeeding? What about breastfeeding?
Breastfeeding, a woman breastfeeding her child? It does not. It does not affect. But by the way, talking about pregnant women and women who are breastfeeding, they have the rukhsa to break their fast. They have the rukhsa to break their fast. And as a rule, if the pregnant woman is not feeling well, then the baby is not feeling well. And if the pregnancy is in the late stages, like in the 6 months and up, 6, 7, 8, 9, I would advise my sisters to break their fast for the whole month. Because during this period, the baby needs some nutrition. And fasting for 18 hours will make him tired. And he's not supposed to fast. He's not mukallaf. So if she's not feeling well, he's not feeling well. The baby is not feeling well. This is a rule. And Sharia has given this concession, this rukhsa. She shouldn't do it with a feeling of guilt. She's not guilty. This is a rukhsa. You remember last time we talked about the concept of yusr? The concept of ease in our Sharia? يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah intends for you ease, and He does not intend to make things difficult for you. And these concessions are actually different types of ease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it easy for the believers, believing man and woman. So if she is pregnant, when the pregnancy is in the early stages, then it's up to her, it's her personal choice. If she feels tired, extremely tired, she feels like she has to break the fast, she has the rukhsa to break the fast because she is pregnant. That is the illah. The illah here is not that the pregnancy is in the 3rd month or the 4th month or the 6th month. This information, we got it from medical doctors. But the Sharia says, when she is pregnant, then the illah of breaking the fast is there. The illah, the effective cause of the Sharia ruling. Like when you are traveling too. What is the illah of the Sharia of the concession of breaking the fast or shortening the prayers? What is the illah? What is the effective cause? What have caused the Sharia ruling? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim. And there is no, every Sharia ruling has a illah behind it, and it has a hikmah, and it is linked with a hikmah. But there is a difference between hikmah, which is the wisdom behind prescribing this Sharia ruling, and between the illah that has affected the Sharia ruling. So when talking about traveling, what is the hikmah of مثلاً prescribing the breaking of the fast? For example, what is the hikmah and what is the illah? What is the hikmah, the wisdom? The hikmah is to relieve the believers, to make it easy for them. Relieving them from hardship. But how about if someone is traveling by plane for 4 hours and said, I don't feel tired, I'm fine. Is he allowed to break his fast or not? He's still allowed. Because the Sharia here does not care about the hikmah. He cares about the illah. The illah is there. He is a traveling person, and that's it. Even if he feels fine, he's allowed to break his fast. And he's allowed to shorten his prayers and combine between the prayers. This is a rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rahmah of this deen. And when we don't have knowledge about this, then we become rigid, we become extremist, we start making things difficult to people. And I have seen people looking at other people breaking their fast in the plane, looking at them down like they were not happy. That this guy is breaking his fast. Why are you doing it? I mean, he's, subhanAllah, traveling, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him this concession, this rukhsa. Why are you trying to make things difficult for people? But if you break your fast because you were pregnant, or you were traveling, or you were sick, we'll talk about sickness now here, then you have to make up the day. You have. Because there are some people who said, who thought, I got this question before. Are we supposed to make up the fast or not? Of course you are supposed to. It's like a deen. It's like a debt. You break the fast today because you are traveling, you are sick, you are pregnant, but you have. Pregnant women. There are many pregnant women who believe that they don't have to fast, they just have to pay for that day. They have to feed a person, like a poor person. No, this is not right. This is not right. They don't have to pay anything. They have to fast. They have to make up the day before next Ramadan. If they are not able to make up those days before Ramadan, they can still, because they are breastfeeding, most likely they will be breastfeeding their babies, then they still have the rukhsa of breaking the fast, not fasting. And then the second Ramadan comes, they had an excuse. So now this lady, first lady, we'll talk about the first case, she has an excuse. She was not able to make up those days before next Ramadan. It's okay, it's fine. She can fast the second Ramadan without making up the other days from the first Ramadan. And she is supposed to make up those days that she missed in the first Ramadan after the second Ramadan is gone. Right? She doesn't have to pay anything. Now the second case, another lady who actually, she had an excuse and she benefited from this rukhsa. She broke her fast in Ramadan and she was supposed to make up those days before next Ramadan but out of laziness, she was lazy and she didn't care about her ibadat, she did not make up those days. And this lady, she has, after the second Ramadan, until Ramadan, second Ramadan comes, then after the second Ramadan is over, she has to make up those days from the first Ramadan and pay for every day. I mean by paying, feeding a poor person, giving him a meal, or the minimum amount of food or money is one, for example, 1 kilogram and half of rice, for example, for one person, for one day. Or feeding, giving him a meal, a complete meal, lunch or dinner. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Because the case of a pregnant woman is like a sick person. And sick people are two types. The people who have permanent sickness, they have no hope to recover in the future, then they are not supposed to fast. And if they fast and hurt themselves, then they might be sinful if they hurt themselves. Okay, they are not supposed to fast and they are supposed to feed for every day one person. Those people who have permanent sickness, like someone who has diabetes or any major sickness, and it will be very difficult for him to fast during Ramadan, then he is not supposed to fast and he will, inshallah, he will pay or feed a person for every day. But those people who are sick, but their sickness is not permanent, they are hoped to recover. It is a temporary sickness. Then they don't have to pay anything, they don't have to feed anyone, they just have to make up those days. Break the fast, but it has to be a severe sickness. Yani, headache is not an excuse. A toothache is not an excuse, unless it is severe. And then you cannot handle fasting, that's a different story. But you're not feeling well, you have a headache, and no, this is not an excuse. You have to be sick. And it does not have to reach the level where you cannot handle. Like our fasting, you say, I'll be patient until like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And you say, no, I cannot handle it now. I have to break the fast. No, the Sharia does not ask you to do that. If you are sick, you know you are sick. And you will be tired, or your sickness will be increased. You will be extremely tired. Your sickness will be increased. Then you have the rukhsa. You have the rukhsa to break your fast from the morning. Like at the time of Fajr, you make the niyyah not to fast. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Naam? It depends. Yani when we talk about mental sicknesses, if someone is crazy, like he's...
Dementia is like when you forget things, right? So like when you get a certain age, you start forgetting.
Dementia.
Yeah.
So you just forget.
You forget about where you are, you forget who this person is and all of that, right? And then they're kind of out of it. Does that count? Is that the sickness that they can...
If they are not mukallaf, if they reach the level of not, يعني, they are not where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask them to do ibadat, then they are not supposed to fast. You know what I mean? But it depends. I mean, here, it's between the two. The ulama in their books talked about the interrupted, I would, يقولون بالعربية الجنون المتقطع. Could be translated as interrupted craziness, Brother Ali? What is the best translation?
Periodic craziness?
Is the craziness a formal word here? It's not, huh? Periodic insanity, this is what the fuqaha talk about. So periodic, yeah, it sounds good. Periodic insanity. So here the ulama, they said, when it comes for salat, for example, they said when he is, you know, going through that period, then he's not actually supposed to pray, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take him to account for not praying. He's not mukallaf. He has lost his legal capacity of performing the acts of ibadah. He has lost this legal capacity, a taklif. So and then said, but he said when he goes out of this zone and he's fine and he becomes sane, then he has to make up those prayers. You know what I mean? This is, we're talking about prayer here. Zakat, they have to pay zakat all the time. Even if a child is wealthy, he has to pay zakat. This is the only thing that a child or an insane person has to do. Because it is haqq al-fuqara, the right of the poor people, in his wealth or her wealth. It's not an obligation upon himself. It is upon himself, but it's not because he's mukallaf, because he's wealthy, because of the amount of money, wealth he owns or she owns. Then they have to pay zakat. His wali, his guardian, has to pay zakat on his behalf. When it comes to fasting, I would believe, wallahu a'lam, if they go for the whole day, they are fine. But at the time of Fajr, they are sane and they are healthy and they know what they are doing. They have to make the intention to fast. If during the day they forgot that they are fasting and then they ate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take them, and they eat something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take them to account because they ate. Because they are now sick. You know what I mean?
So in that period, right? Because for example, it's happened. You eat at that period, and then my mom would tell him, like, he'd be like, no, it's okay, you don't know what you're talking about, you know, it's not good or something like that. And then, like, an hour later, he'll come back to it. So is it recommended for him to continue fasting for a month?
If it is out of forgetfulness, he should continue.
It's like that thing you're talking about,
right? It's like the hadith, man akala nasiyan, أو شرب ناسيا فقد أطعمه الله وسقاه. يعني if it is out of forgetfulness, he forgot. It's like a sane person who forgot that he's fasting and he ate. You know what I mean? He should continue, and he doesn't have to make up for this day. So if this is his type of, that is what he's going through, and he forgets that he's fasting. And then the rest of family members remind him that he's fasting, and then he quits right away. Alhamdulillah, that's good. He should continue, and he doesn't have to make up these days. Wallahu ta'ala ana. Tafadhal akhi.
More than 3 days, and he does not need to make up those.
Say it again, please.
Like somebody is insane 3 days, more than 3 days.
He does what?
He's insane.
He's insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
More than 3 days, then he does not need to make up for the previous days of his prayer.
For that day, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, for that day he was not mukallaf, if it is for the whole day, for that specific day. No, we are talking about different case here. That someone is, in general, he is a sane person, but sometimes it would come a time where he forgets about everything. And then if he eats, yeah, it's a different case. Then the rest of family member will remind him that he is fasting, then he quits right away. It's like the case that was mentioned in the hadith. If someone eats and drinks by mistake, and then he remembers right away that he's fasting, Rasulullah said, قَدْ أَطْعَمَهُ اللَّهُ وَسَقَاهُ. And many scholars said he doesn't have to make up this day. He doesn't have to fast again. You know? But this person, this case you are talking about, someone is insane for the whole day. So he's not mukallaf for the whole day. You know what I mean? It's different. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Yeah, in this case I have to double check, but I'm confident about the first case that the brother has mentioned, but I just have to double check this case that you are mentioning here. Someone is insane for 3 days and then he becomes fine, okay, after like 3 days, wallah. Is he supposed to make up those days? I don't believe so, but I will double check, inshallah, just to make sure. Okay, just a second. Can we give chance to other people? Because I don't want to be dealing with one side. Okay, I'm sorry.
Those who work in oil sands, for example, the north.
Oil sands?
Yeah, they travel in there.
Okay.
I guess two groups. One group, they work 2 weeks.
Okay.
And 1 week off. They consider travelers. And what about those who stay 4 nights in one location and move to another location? But
if they are travelers, then they don't have to fast.
Even if they 1 week off, 2 weeks on?
Yeah, that's okay, that's fine. If their home is Calgary, their home, they have their families in Calgary, they come back to Calgary every week, every second week, they are travelers, they consider themselves travelers. They are travelers, if it is tough for them, difficult for them to handle fasting, it's okay for them to break the fast. The problem is with people who work in construction here in Calgary, the local people. This is the problem. And there are many people who break the fast. They don't listen. And the people who start asking these questions before, 1 month before, are we allowed? I know it's difficult. For some of them work, they do asphalt, for example. I know it's difficult, very difficult. But the fatwa of the ulama regarding those people who are not traveling and doing this type of work, the ulama said, this person has to take care of his month, Ramadan. He can take a month off because of the nature of his work. It's tough. He's working in construction. It's very difficult for him to fast, to handle fasting. So they said they should at least take their vacation, yearly vacation, during the summer. But the problem is with people who work in the construction in this city, actually the season, their season is in the summer. And they take a break in the winter. In the winter they don't work. So they make money in the summer. That is their season. Now the problem, if you tell him take a month, 1 month off in June or July, Allah, it might be difficult for him. So the ulama, this, if he doesn't take 1 month off, he keeps working during Ramadan, he has to go to work with the intention of fasting. He has to. He doesn't have a choice. Because he's not sick and he's not traveling. He's not sick, he's not traveling. He's local and he's healthy. Then in the morning, the early morning, time of Fajr, he has to make the intention of fasting. And he goes to work and he starts working. If during the day he feels like he cannot handle it, it's extremely difficult. For this case, not for the sick person. The sick person, we said, he has the concession to break the fast from the early morning, from Fajr time. But this person, because he's not traveling, he's healthy, he doesn't have this right. He cannot benefit from this concession. He goes to work with the intention of performing the fast. And then if during the day he cannot handle the fasting, they said he can drink and eat just to feel fine and okay. And then he has to quit right away, continue his day. And he has to make up for the day. This is the Sharia ruling concerning those group of people. So they don't have the right to break their fast because just working, they're working construction or doing this type of work. Is he like moving or staying in one place? Moving around or staying in one place?
He's mostly staying in one place there, but he has, so like as a traveler, he still is not settled in anywhere. He might have to go to a different city every weekend or so.
But his home is here in Calgary?
Pakistan.
Oh, Pakistan. Yeah, he's a traveler. He can benefit from this rukhsa, Allahu ta'ala. But if it is easy, this kind of people, because they are staying in one place, if they stay in one place, they're not moving, it's better for them to fast. I'll tell you why. It's better for them, it's way better for them to fast. Breaking the fast is a rukhsa. But if you have the choice, what is better to fast. Why? Because Ramadan is a special time. And you feel more encouraged to fast with the Muslims in Ramadan. The spirit of Ramadan is different. You cannot find it after Ramadan. It will be way different. The taste of fasting will be different. The taste of ibadah will be different. And because of the rewards are multiplied in Ramadan. For these kind of people who are not moving, like from one place to one place, it's not like Fort McMurray working people there, moving around, going to camps and doing very difficult type of work. If he's in London or Manchester or UK, right? Staying in one city, most likely it will be easy for him to fast. There, summer, I've been there in the last summer. They get a lot of rain in the summer. It's not very difficult for them to fast. It's not like here or in the Middle East. Yeah, they got a lot of rain there. He gets a lot of rain. So I believe it will be easy for him to fast. It's better for him to fast. Wallahu ta'ala. Tafadhal Sheikh Fuad.
What about the women who are pregnant? They're in the cycle between pregnancy and
breastfeeding. I said if she, after Ramadan, she's after she delivers her baby and she needs to raise breastfeed her son, right? Her baby or daughter, whatever. Then she has the rukhsa to break her or not to fast. She has the rukhsa. She has an excuse. Even if the second Ramadan comes without her fasting those days or making up those days, she has an excuse. She can make them up after the second Ramadan is over. What if she's pregnant again in the second Ramadan? She has the rukhsa again to break the fast. الحكم يدور مع العلة وجودا وعدما. الحكم يدور مع العلة وجودا وعدما. The Sharia ruling is attached to the illa. If it is there, the Sharia ruling is there. If the illa is not there, the Sharia ruling is not there. So the illa is there, pregnancy. She can keep breaking the fast for 3 months, 3 Ramadans or 4 Ramadans. There are some cases like that. Yeah, but she has to make up those days after everything is over.
So if she, for example, she's pregnant and breastfeeding and she misses 4 Ramadans,
when does she have to make up for Ramadan? Like by the next Ramadan or?
Yeah, by the next Ramadan. By the next Ramadan. But if she can't, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim. She can leave rest the rest till the other Ramadan. And in the winter time, I think here in Calgary, I think women will be able to make up those days, even if it is 2 months or 3 months. It's very easy to fast during winter time here. Like Maghrib is like around 4:30, Fajr is 7 o'clock. It will be easy for them to fast. Yes? Wallahi, inhalers are controversial, and I'm not really confident about this fatwa. If you can, I'll have to double check about inhalers. So there are ulama who said it's they don't invalidate the fast, and some of them they said it's a very debatable matter. He says you need time to look into it, inshallah. So in Japan, they started fasting 1 day before Bangladesh. Okay.
So when I go back, so 30 days Bangladesh, actually it has 31 for me. So what I do, I don't know that my local imam said, okay, you can do it on the intention, nothing. Because I cannot eat myself, right? Because 30 is done.
Yeah, 30 is over.
30 is over. And if I continue with them, it is automatically goes 30 fast, 31.
No, you keep fasting. You keep celebrate Eid with them.
So then it becomes 35.
Yeah, that's okay. Because you are supposed to break the fast with the local community. We are supposed to celebrate Eid with the local community. No, no, no. You should fast, a regular fast. Keep fasting and you celebrate Eid with the local community. The problem is when the opposite, the other case, where you end up fasting only 28 days.
But then I have to make up another one?
Yes, you celebrate Eid. Like if you celebrate Eid with the community, with the local community tomorrow, you celebrate Eid. You have to break the fast because you cannot fast on Eid. But you end up fasting only 28. Because in the other country, they started later than your own country now. Right? So you end up fasting only 28. What do? You make up 1 day. Okay? So you always follow the local community. Wallahu ta'ala alam. The brother is talking about fasad niyyah, corrupting spoiling your intention during the day. If you start thinking about the difficulty of fasting and you have a thought, you entertained a thought of breaking the fast. There is a difference between this khawatir, these thoughts, and between the niyyah. The niyyah is a firm intention to do something. Actually, when you do it, it's like you are planning to do it. There is a difference between a firm intention and between talking to yourself about, you know, the hardships you are facing during Ramadan and during the day, and maybe should you keep fasting or not. This dialogue, internal dialogue, does not break your fast. It does not. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Yes, brother. No, we are not supposed to fast during the first day. You can start actually fasting the 6 days of Shawwal in the second day of Eid, second day of Shawwal. Yeah, where suppose it's haram for Muslims to fast on the day of Eid, which is the first day. But we can start fasting the 6 days from the second day of Shawwal. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Yes?
First of all, now let his brother ask his question. He's been putting his hand up. So.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, tell him, yeah. Remind them, yes. The brother, he said, if you see someone, I will just repeat the question for the sisters. If you see someone eating or drinking during Ramadan, are you supposed to remind him or not? This is a good question, because there are people who say, no, you don't remind him, because it is Allah who is feeding him. So don't remind him. Let him take his sweet time. No, that's not right. You should remind him or her. Tell him you are fasting, because he should quit right away. Okay, go ahead.
Regarding when we start our first day of Siyam, there are people that go inside the moon here, and others follow what they do in Saudi Arabia or wherever in the world.
Okay.
Those people that go inside the moon and they don't cite it, should they be fasting with us, with the community? Or if they don't sight the moon when they go,
yeah,
they wait one day.
We should fast with the community. We should fast with the community. Al-fitru yawma yaftiru an-nas, as-sawmu yawma yasumu an-nas, wal-fitru yawma yaftiru an-nas. This hadith in Sunan Tirmidhi. And this hadith has solved the problem. I know there are two major or famous opinions. Local sighting, should we go with local sighting or with the international moon sighting? And these differences will stay forever till the Day of Judgment. They will never be solved. People will always be having discussions about these two different opinions. So, and the problem is they use the same hadith, the same proofs, with different interpretations. صوموا لرؤيته وأفطروا لرؤيته. So start your fasting when you see the moon, the new moon, and break your fast when you see the new moon of Shawwal. Is he talking, when Rasulullah ﷺ made this statement, was he addressing his local community in Medina, or was he addressing the whole Muslim Ummah? So this discussion will stay there forever. I know there are other proofs that might make you feel inclined towards the local sighting. There are other proofs. But the other opinion is strong, and stronger, and it has some weight. But this hadith in Sunan Tirmidhi has solved the issue. Like the ulama, they said, if people are having an argument about these two opinions, and we have a khalifa, and the khalifa said we have to start fasting on this day, then we have to follow the leadership of the community. Now we don't have a khilafa, but we have Muslim organizations. And I believe, and ISC, alhamdulillah, and ISC, we've been following this opinion from day one, that we follow the local community, so we don't have problem. Doesn't feel good that you fast on a different day in the same community. It has no excuse. I mean, it has no basis. There's no excuse for doing that, because this is clear fitna. I mean, if Edmonton, people in Edmonton start their fasting on a different day, or in Montreal or Vancouver, people will say, okay, they might have a different opinion, but in the same community, I don't believe it's the right thing to do. And alhamdulillah, we have something to support this methodology, the Sunnah hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. As-sawm yawma yasumu an-nas. Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, start your fasting when people. So the ulama, they said, either the leadership or the community, the ummah, the community that you live with, if they are starting fasting, they are fast on a specific day, particular day, then fast with them. And that's it. I have seen people, young people, I remember when I was young in the 80s, back home, young people who just started practicing the deen, and they are very excited, mashallah, about the deen, and they want to do the right thing. And I grew up in Algeria, and then they wait for Saudi, the announcement of the Saudi government. And then there are sometimes differences. Algeria is far in North Africa, you know, and Saudi Arabia is in the Arabian Peninsula. So there is a big, you know, we're not close. We're not like Morocco or Tunisia, it's not, we say, the same area. We follow the same moon sighting. So, and there are young people who, during the Eid, Saudi Arabia will announce that today is Eid. And Algeria will say, no, tomorrow is Eid. So people in Algeria will be fasting that day. So those young people, they will take like their coffee and their breakfast, and they take it outside, and they place the table in front of their house, showing people that they are breaking the fast and they are celebrating Eid with Saudi Arabia. And this is a great sign of قِلَّةِ الْعِلْمِ, lack of knowledge, lack of hikmah. You shouldn't do it this way. And alhamdulillah, this hadith in Sunan Tirmidhi, as I said, has solved it. Wallahu ta'ala alam. They don't pray? Well, I mean, it's very dangerous. I don't know about their fasting, but not praying is a major problem. There are ulama who said, the one who does not pray is not Muslim. And majority of ulama, they said he's fasiq, he's a sinful Muslim, he's still Muslim, but he's sinful. And I feel comfortable with the third opinion, which says, the one who did not pray at all, who never offered a rak'ah or a sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life. Like he lived for 60 years. Imagine someone who has reached 60 years, 70, he never prayed. So I believe, this is the opinion of Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and some other scholars, he said he's a kafir, he's not Muslim. And I believe this is the right opinion. But if someone prays and he's on and off, prays and quits praying, then he's still under the mashi'ah of Allah. He will be under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إن شاء غفر له وإن شاء عذبه. يعني he will be under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. If he wishes, he would forgive him. If he wishes to punish him, he would punish him, Allah ta'ala. But it is a major problem. يعني praying is more important than fasting. يعني the ulama, they said, I don't know any alim who said the person who does not fast is a kafir. I don't know any alim who said this. But if someone believes that fasting is not an obligation, there's a difference between the two. We have two cases here. Someone who denies the obligation of fasting, then he is a kafir. If anyone who denies the obligation of a major pillar of Islam, say, I don't believe zakat is an obligation, fasting, I don't believe fasting is an obligation, I don't believe salat is an obligation, so he becomes kafir automatically. He's not Muslim. But there is a difference between him and someone who believes that fasting is an obligation or praying is an obligation, but he is not praying because he's lazy or he is planning to pray. There are people who I used to hear people saying, after I get married, they will start praying. Or after I retire, they will do this or this. Who knows when you're going to leave this world? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Should be ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Go ahead, brother.
Just ask about the different calendar for the Fajr prayer and the Suhoor.
Yeah.
Especially here in the...
Okay, this is a good question, yeah. I forgot about it. I was planning actually to talk about it, yeah. Many people in Ramadan, they go to the internet to check the timings of Fajr. Especially who don't have these timetables at home, they consult Islamic Finder. Islamic Finder will give them different timings. Different timings, to be honest with you. Here in Calgary, we are following the criteria of 1 hour and a half. 1 hour and a half between Maghrib and Isha. 1 hour and a half between Fajr and Shuruq, sunrise. Now, to be honest with you, 1 hour and a half could be good for some time, but it's not good for, I don't believe it's reliable for the whole year. We don't believe that. And the only way to solve this issue, the only way, because people have different formulas, 15 degrees, 18 degrees, 19 degrees, North America, Isna timing, the Egyptian, what is called, the Egyptian, they have a name, association, the University of Science in Karachi, the Muslim World League, different organizations, right? The only way to solve this issue is to observe the Fajr, that is the starting of Fajr, and to observe Shafaq al-Ahmar, the redness in the sky after Maghrib. When the redness of the in the sky, in the horizon disappears, then the Isha, the time of Isha, starts. But as a matter of fact, on the last time I observed this redness, it was June the 25th, last 25th, just a couple of days ago. And alhamdulillah, I was happy. We pray here at 11:30. Around 11:25, there was some yellow color left in the horizon. And it disappeared. Around 11:25. The last observation I made for Isha, it was June 25th. When it comes to Fajr, I did an observation by myself with another brother in August. In August 2011, before I went to the UK. And it was okay, it was fine. Like at the time of Fajr here, in the calendar, we felt confident, we felt comfortable that Fajr is there. We saw the brightness of Fajr. And this year, I went with another imam, not yesterday, before yesterday. Yesterday was Thursday, I think Wednesday morning. We went to the eastern part of the city on 16th Avenue. We parked our car around 3:15 in the morning, and we were waiting for Fajr to start. And alhamdulillah, we were happy. The only thing that shed some doubt about our observation, there was a big cloud. It was dark, black cloud in the eastern part of the city, and the place where we were supposed to watch and observe the starting of Fajr, there was a big cloud. But at the Fajr here starts around 3:50. Around that time, we felt comfortable that Fajr is there. Tabayyun. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to wait until he is confident that Fajr is there, and then he would ask Bilal to do the adhan, or Bilal himself used actually to observe. But Aisha said he would start pray the sunnah of al-Fajr after he is sure that Fajr is in. Fajr has started. Tabayyun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qal, hatta yatabayyana lakum. Ibn Abbas, he said, al-Fajr alladhi yantashiru ala ru'us al-jibal. He said, is the brightness that is spreads on the top of mountains. It's not the whiteness, that the brightness that appear before that time, because there is al-Fajr al-Kadhib, the false Fajr, and al-Fajr al-Sadiq. And there are differences between them. So we are planning to go, inshallah, again, maybe tomorrow, maybe, inshallah, to observe again Fajr. But now we feel comfortable. Based on the first observation, we felt comfortable with this timing now. But we don't believe that this criteria of 1 hour and a half is good for the whole year. Like in every season, I think we have to go for a couple of days and observe the Fajr. It is difficult in the winter when it is cold, but we need to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we have to correct our ibadat. For this year, inshallah, we're planning to go for another day or two before, like in this weekend, inshallah. And then if everything is fine, we'll just follow this criteria, 1 hour and a half, and everything will be fine. If you want to be in the safe side, you might stop eating 5 or 10 minutes before. 5-10 minutes before Fajr. But this is not a Sharia ruling. Yani this is not, there is no such time as Imsak. The Imsak is at the time of Fajr. But if you want to be in the safe side, like as I said, there was a big cloud there and we're not 100% sure. That's why we're planning to go back again. But we felt comfortable that it is the time here in the calendar is good. Alhamdulillah. So don't be confused with the different timings in the Islamic finder, because there are some timings that says There are some organization that some organizations that said that Fajr should start in Calgary at around 3 o'clock. This is very difficult. Imagine, Yani, you go to you pray Taraweeh in the masjid here, you finish at 12:30, go home at 1 o'clock, go to bed at 1 o'clock, and then you have to wake up before 3. It's like 1 hour and a half sleep. It's not. It's very difficult. Brother. It's okay because we are very close.
Within the region, right?
Yeah, same region.
Because there's maybe 45 minutes driving time difference.
45 minutes?
Like if you drive from Chestermere to Crawford, it could take you maybe 40 minutes or 45 minutes to drive across.
Yeah, but we are, if you are comparing Chestermere with Calgary, Cochrane with Calgary, we're still the same area. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Yeah, there is no big difference. Wallahu ta'ala alam. I think we should stop now, right? Jazakum Allahu khayran wa barakallahu feekum.